enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
Well, a good day to you, sir. Dr. David Berman, Rob Lotito with you. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm doing good, riding my Harley. So, you know, it gets my mind off all the craziness that's going on with this crazy government of ours.
Now, that's a nice Harley you got there.
Indeed, it is.
I do get jealous at times, even though I'm covenanting. You know, I know it's one of the commandments I can't have. But, you know, the pastor does ride a nice motorcycle, and, you know, it is a American, real American guy that rides that type of bike.
That's right, an American motorcycle, Harley Davidson. Yeah. You can't go wrong with that
but
bike.
But a name like Dr. Reverend David Berman, I just don't see on the motorcycle.
You don't.
Because they're visual here. I mean, you know.
Well, listen, I make that Harley look good. Trust me on that.
Well, you make a lot of things look good, Pastor.
I've been telling you that.
You ride the bike around, and I know you love going through the mountains of New England and taking that bike. And, you know, you got some ministry stuff going on with that, too, and that's a good outreach, reaching those. You had the opportunity, I know, to pray over some bikes and bikers recently to, you know, a lot of guys who ride motorcycles are God, guns, America.
Type men.
But they may not be born-again believers, but it's good to get that opportunity to pray over those people. But.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to do a bike blessing for a bunch of Harley guys and was real thrilled with that, able to pray for them. And when I was praying about how God is so gracious to allow us to be on these Harleys riding through his creation, which speaks of who he is. So every time I'm driving through the beautiful mountains, I think to myself, wow, I mean, God is so awesome, and the creation bears witness, as the book of Romans says, of the Creator.
What, you mean we're not here by accident?
Indeed, we are not.
Your motorcycle's not here by accident?
No, it wasn't like the metal was sitting around next to some rubber tire and said, hey, baby, what are you doing tonight, and do you come here often? I mean, you know, this is actually a designed motorcycle. And, of course, we're living in a creation that is designed by Almighty God.
Yes, folks, you are listening to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. You're not listening to Dave's Harley show here. I'm Rob Lotito, and as I said earlier, Dr. David Berman is our host. And, Doctor, we're going to talk about an interesting subject today. And, you know, you've really been educating the folks about a lot of different things when it comes to being an American. You know, we talk about having a Harley or having the freedom to walk outside and do basically what we want and doing good. And I think some point today we're going to learn that that's kind of changed for us as Americans, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I mean, you know, we've seen such a decline. It's particularly in the last 7 years under Obama, but I'm not going to blame President Obama only for this. I mean, it was declining under Bush and before him because the nation has turned away from God. And so really for the last 30 or 40 years, we've been slipping into the abyss of political correct soup. It's like this disgusting thing that grabs on your feet, like those old movies, really bad horror movies where it'd be like this blob.
Like you're running away and you can't get away from the blob.
It's just grabbing and pulling you down into the earth. This is this sort of a cesspool of political correctness that's just trying to destroy our country.
And it is a disease that is out there. And as Christians, you know, what could we learn? You know, tell us, what could we learn about, you know, the history of our country? You know, we talk about liberty, and we talk about being endowed by our Creator, which is kind of our theme today. What does it really mean to have liberty, Pastor, in this day and age?
Well, it means the same thing it's always meant, is that when you're under God, you have two different things. You have one, you have a certain rights that are inalienable, given by God, and then you have a responsibility before God to handle those rights in a proper manner. So our nation was founded on this idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic, which was a shot across the bow to all tyrants.
Yeah.
Because our founding fathers understood that rights do not come from man like what they thought in Europe, the divine right of kings, where the king gave you the right or took it away, mm-hmm. but rather the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, gives us our rights. And if a king or anybody else takes that right away, they're actually usurping the authority of Almighty God. That is a revolutionary idea that hit America and caused this amazing great nation, America, to be founded as a non-church-controlled government, because none of us want the church to control the government or the government to control the church. In other words, meaning there's no specific denomination that is official. But having said that, it was founded on the religious principle that God Almighty is the one who gives the rights, and mankind does not have a right to take that away. And we all, as individuals, have these rights rather than as some ridiculous Marxist collective.
And as Americans today, I feel like we're trapped with this PC stuff. Could you elaborate? Teach me, even, Pastor. Why am I being told today as a Christian I can't have my freedoms the same way? How are they being, as your article just came out on smellthetruth.com, marginalized?
Well, what happens is, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just right away passing really bad laws against free speech, which never would have passed, they just, from a cultural standpoint, have taken over the media, education, have infiltrated. These are progressives I'm talking about. Have infiltrated every segment and every institution, including many churches, and have made the social pressure that you cannot say certain things, otherwise you'll be labeled a this phobe, a that phobe, a racist, a this, that. So they've cut off conversation and discussion about these issues because in their minds, as these Marxist progressives, these issues are settled, and they're settled on the side of the progressives who really want centralized power in a collectivist society where they force you to either to how you think and what you say. So political correctness is just it's just insane, and it's affecting us greatly, even people losing their jobs because they have a position, for instance, on traditional marriage.
Recently in the news, we heard that a principal down in Florida who came out on that Texas incident with the pool party lost his job because he posted on his personal Facebook that he was in agreement with the police officer who ended up resigning, who mm-hmm. pulled his gun out and stuff. I know you've seen that clip.
Right.
I just feel like as Americans, I don't know where this guy stands as a principal, as a believer. It's his personal Facebook. Is he not allowed, doctor, to have his own opinion outside of work?
Oh, he is most certainly allowed under the PC crowd to have any opinion that agrees with them. He can have his opinion.
Of course he does. Crazy logic.
You can say anything you want to say on Facebook or Twitter as long as you agree with the progressives. Yeah, you have a right to your opinion. But as soon as you say something you don't agree with, they want to hit your head. They want to take your job. This is intimidation. It is un-American. It's ungodly, and it needs to be resisted. Absolutely. See, here's the thing. Your right to free speech guarantees my right to free speech.
Absolutely.
And so even, Coach, even if you said something that I completely 100% disagree with, I can argue with you in the marketplace of ideas, which is where it should be argued. I can debate you, make my point, and prove to everybody that you're wrong about that, and you can try to prove that I'm wrong about my position, but I have got to defend your right to say your position.
Have we lost that ability to debate that way?
Absolutely, because they do not want debate. They want names, sort of a, this is what is acceptable in speech. Anything other is not. You're a radical. You're crazy. You hate women. You hate black people. You hate Hispanics. You hate this. You hate that. This is how they try to shut up people. But people like myself are unwilling to shut up. I will not be intimidated by these people. I will say whatever I decide to say, anytime I decide to say it, anywhere I decide to say it.
So you don't believe in the pulpit issue that some of these pastors are going on out there as a pastor, a doctor of theology, and a father, and a human being, and a citizen of the United States of America.
Right.
You don't lose that right when you go to the pulpit, do you?
Absolutely not. I don't check my human rights in at the door when I walk into the church. Who came up with that ridiculous thing?
Well, that's the tax issue where you can lose your tax status if you don't.
Well, first of all, let's look at the Constitution. The church mm-hmm. is not tax exempt. The church is tax immune.
Now, what's the difference?
Well, the state doesn't have a right to give a take away a tax exemption. This whole tax exemption nonsense started under when Johnson, I believe, was in the Senate. I don't have that right in front of me.
Okay.
But he pushed this idea with the Internal Revenue Service that you can't say anything from the pulpit that is quote unquote political. Now here's the issue with that. On the left, the progressives, I wonder how they would apply that during the time of Martin Luther King, who stood up against in political ways against racism, against Jim Crow laws, against segregation from the pulpit. Those were political issues, like it or not, but they were also moral issues. And the bottom line is every issue is a moral and political issue. Everything has connotations that are moral or political. In a free society, we have a right to speak. I'm not checking in my rights at the door when I go up to the pulpit. I will speak about whatever I want to speak about in any way I choose to speak about it. Nobody has the right to usurp the authority of God who has given me my right to speak. And I will not submit to tyranny.
Amen to that, Doctor. As we look backward in our country a little bit to again, educate me at this as well, as I'm really interested in how as a country we talk about the documents of the Declaration of Independence, you know, our rights are given to us. They're endowed by our Creator.
Right.
Why was that created by a so-called, the deists or Christian men at that time, or because there's a lot of confusion about that. And as a Christian, I'm confused sometimes, never mind as a secular.
Because the people who founded this nation, what they did was they looked at all of history and what they had experienced in England. You had the Church of England. You were forced to be a member of that. If you were not, you can get in trouble. There was not freedom of religion. The church and the state were bound together.
And the king controlled that?
Exactly.
And so you had to submit to the king.
Well, in fact, the king was the head of the Anglican Church.
Okay.
And that happened because of the rebellion against the Catholic Church when King Henry wanted to have get divorced.
Divorce.
So he decided, I'm just going to make my own church. So the bottom line is, you see, what happened was our founding fathers looked at history and they said, one of the things they realized is that government always seeks to usurp its authority. It's just the nature of government. It is the nature of power to desire to grab more power. And so they said, listen, we have to have limited government based on these Judeo-Christian principles. We're not going to have a state-run church, God forbid, and I don't want that either, but we're certainly going to use the principles that we see in the Bible from the standpoint of saying that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. We're not endowed by some primordial slime that accidentally came on the scene before us, but rather endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable. Unalienable means they are not allowed in any shape, manner, form to be taken away. Now, we know that man tries to take them away and sometimes does take them away, but when he does, he's violating the law of Almighty God, and God will deal with him. And so our founders said, listen, God is watching us.
Hmm.
And we have to have people have individual rights, and every single person needs to be equal under the law and have individual rights. Now, someone listening will say, well, what about slavery? And my answer to that was a grave sin, and we paid for it dearly with thousands and thousands and thousands of lives killed because the founders did not take a stand as they should have on that. Having said that, what they did allowed us to continue to grow as a nation to get rid of that nonsense. But the fundamental position of the Declaration of Independence is that we are endowed by our Creator with these unalienable rights. And so anybody who tries to take them away is actually coming against God's authority when they try to take away our rights. This is a fundamental sense of who we are as Americans. And what the progressives want to do, what people like President Obama want to do, is say the government is the one that controls you, controls your rights. We'll decide what is a right and what isn't. And in 1973, the Supreme Court decided to take the inalienable right of life away from unborn children, resulting in 56 million babies murdered. Half of them, at least, female, I might add to you feminists out there, women who were killed by abortion. And this is a grave violation of what the founding principles of this nation are. And so the Supreme Court violated the law of God, usurped authority over the law of God, and they will be paying a heavy price in Judgment Day for doing that.
We are on Smell the Truth Radio, our host, Dr. David Berman, giving us some great information about the today issue of our rights, our liberties, and the in being endowed by our Creator. We're going talking a little bit about our history here. Doctor, tell us why I'm confused about a deist. You know,
what
Thomas Jefferson, I always hear, you know, he wasn't really a Christian. He was more of a deist. What does that mean?
Right. Well, there are some people who say that all of our founding fathers were just deists. And a deist is somebody who believes that God started this thing and then he kind of let it go to do its own thing. And he went to Bermuda on vacation. And he's chilling out on the beach or something crazy like that.
So he just spun it into motion and said, I'll check on it in a billion years.
It has nothing to do with it. And the problem with that is that our founders talked about divine providence. And divine providence means that God's hand is in something. You can't be a deist and believe in divine providence at the same time. The two are completely contradictory. Our founders were not deists. Maybe one or two of them were deists. Thomas Jefferson was not a classical Christian. We know that. But he said many things that were good about the Bible and, in fact, made sure that Bibles were distributed by the government to the Indians. By the government. That's a violation, isn't it? Now, we're told that Thomas Jefferson is the one that rose up what we call the separation of church and state, which is not found in the Constitution.
Which I'm confused over because people want to argue with me and say, that's a separation of church and state. Help us here, Pastor, please.
Separation of church and state is not found. What that was a letter to the Danbury Baptists, because the Danbury Baptists were concerned. They heard rumor that there was going to be an official church of the country. And simply, Thomas Jefferson said that we've erected a wall between church and state in this context, that there's not going to be some particular denomination, like, you know, the Church of America that's led by the state. So, but in the First Amendment, it says, ready, Congress shall make no law, none, zero, no law concerning the establishment of a religion,
any religion.
Well, he's talking about Christianity.
Sure.
In the context, he's talking about establishment. When he says religion in that context, remember, we got to go back to the context of the day. He's talking about denomination.
Okay.
No official denomination, and Congress shall not prohibit the free exercise of religion, any denomination.
Right.
So Congress shall make no law. They have nothing to say one way or the other about it. They are not to be involved with it. That's why we're tax immune. Because if you put a tax code on the church, then it comes under the power of the state to manage this and that in the church, and that's a violation of the First Amendment. They don't grant us tax exemption. They have no right before God to put any tax on us because the church is not it is a separate sovereign entity from the government. Now, let me make something clear for those of you listening. There's a real misconception. They think that somehow nobody who's a Christian in ministry pays taxes. Christian ministers pay taxes. Anybody who works for a church pays taxes.
Exactly.
It's the entity itself that does not.
Property taxes.
Of course not. Because
profits or anything
like that.
It is
a sovereign entity from the state, and the state is not to control it.
Mm-hmm. Well, great education stuff here, and I just get blown away by it sometimes. Smell the Truth Radio, you're listening to our host, Dr. David Berman, along with his co-host here, Rob Coach Letito. You can find more stuff at smellthetruth.com, articles and books that Dr. Berman has. You're also an author as well. And, Doctor, as we got a couple minutes here before we head to break, elaborate just on one more thing for me, because there's a little confusion for me. The separation of church and state deal, I think great stuff. You gave me that, the taxation, the deist stuff. Why do people still say to me, well, if Thomas Jefferson, I just use one guy, but, you know, he had slaves. And I know you said it was a great, but he didn't want to give up his slaves. That's why he wanted what he wanted. Or, you know, George Washington didn't want to give up his slaves. That's why he wanted what he wanted. Were they hypocrites? Or was it just what was it?
Let's make sure we understand history. Before I do that, say there is no excuse, zero excuse, for taking one human being into slavery. There's no exception to that rule. You have no right to take a person into slavery. This involuntary servitude is not of God. Case closed. Having said that, in many situations when somebody comes to an understanding, like the Magna Carta, for instance, the Magna Carta happens in England. This is a beginning of a different kind of thinking, that people have rights besides just the king. This idea, does that mean that they were perfect in the Magna Carta? Of course not. But it moved us towards this thing called the Constitution. These history is filled with people, flawed people,
mm-hmm.
who come up with great ideas and understanding of things. Now, certainly what happened was, from my study of history, is that
mm-hmm.
in order to keep the union, to begin the union, the contentious issue of slavery would have not allowed the union to really hold together the beginning of the country. And the founding fathers were thinking, well, you know, slavery is sort of on its way out anyway, so we'll let this go in order to fight. So they compromised on that. They should not have compromised on it, but they did. And then there was certain inventions that happened after that that really brought back the cotton industry and increased the desire for slaves. No excuse for it. I make no excuse for it. That does not mean that everything they said was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact of the matter is, this is how things happen throughout history, that regular flawed individuals realize certain things, and when they come out with that, that doesn't make it any less true because they're flawed. And I can give you all kinds of names of people in history that were flawed. Martin Luther King was flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Who isn't flawed? So bottom line, was it hypocritical to say all men are created, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, and then keep slaves? Absolutely hypocritical. Does that mean we throw out what is true? Of course not.
Okay.
So that led to us continuing to teach on these types of principles, which led to an abolitionist movement run by Christians, I might add, and which eventually came to the place where we had the Civil War, and we reaped what we sowed, and paid severely for that sin.
And we lost over 700,000 soldiers were killed and injured during that time, and I believe that it was only God's hand and grace that kept us together as a nation, because we were a stained and hurt nation at that point in time.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I know that paraphrasing Abraham Lincoln, he said it was God's grace that made it that we were not attacked during that time, that we were able to maintain the nation. And,
yeah.
And listen, Abraham Lincoln said that the war was a judgment of God against us for what we've done in slavery. I mean, can you imagine a politician today saying that something was the judgment of God against us?
Well, I remember when somebody said that about 9/11, one of the TV evangelists or something at that time, and you know, people just said, "Oh, they're crazy. They're, you know, how could you think that? How could you say that?"
Yeah.
Looking at all what you just said, Dr. David Berman, our host, giving us a little education today on our liberties and our abilities to be, continue to be endowed by our Creator. Pastor, we got the website, smellthetruth.com, and people can find you there. Some good articles. You got this month's article out, and you got 6 books you published?
Four books,
right?
Yeah. I'm sitting there wondering.
Four books.
Yeah.
Well, but there is 5 and 6 coming down the road,
right,
folks.
Right, always something.
Stop talking. Right. And Pastor's a prolific writer as well. I mean, the writings and stuff that you
lots
do.
So I've been published on both on the web and in print publications, of course, and done been on hundreds of radio stations, as well as television. Many years ago, I was featured on CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, also the Sea Broadcasting International Show, and done tons of radio.
You had the ability to share your testimony on CBN?
I did, actually. They heard about my testimony, sent a crew down, and did a story many years ago on my salvation experience, and it was a pretty interesting and cool story.
All right, again, you're listening to Smell the Truth Radio, and you can find this at smellthetruth.com. Dr. David Berman, his articles, his books are there. And keep up with him when our next shows are going to be. And also, our shows will be archived there. So we want to make sure you go to smellthetruth.com, just like it says, smellthetruth.com. This is Rob Lotito, the coach, with our host, Dr. David Berman. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Smellthetruth.com.
We are living in troubled times for young people. With a 35% out-of-wedlock birth rate for whites, 52% for Hispanics, and an even higher rate of 72% for African Americans, there is certainly a fatherless crisis in America. Statistics show incarceration rates for young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fatherless homes are 15 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. Girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers. Isn't it time to go back to the founding principles of this once great nation? Isn't it time to stop kicking against God's obvious wisdom found in the Bible and raise families as God intended? The evidence is overwhelming. Fatherlessness is destroying our nation. Come back to the Bible. Find a Bible-preaching, believing church. Come back to what works. It's time for men to be responsible and to lead their families to Jesus. This message is brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
SmellTheTruth.com is the official site for Smell the Truth Radio. You will find information as well as articles from Dr. David Berman. SmellTheTruth.com is all about truth. Dr. Berman engages the enemy of your mind with the truth of God's Word, explaining not only biblical principles for our lives of faith, but also how the Judeo-Christian principles apply to the principles of liberty as seen in the founding philosophy of America. At SmellTheTruth.com, you can sign up for Dr. Berman's monthly email articles, as well as listen to archive radio shows. If you're interested in booking Dr. Berman for a speaking event, you may also contact him through SmellTheTruth.com. SmellTheTruth.com, disseminating the truth throughout the world.
Engage the enemy of your mind.
All right.
Wake up.
Back with you. Smell the Truth Radio. I am Rob Lutito with our host, Dr. David Berman. You know, the enemy of our mind, you know, is a tricky thing, you know. And I sometimes get the enemy in my mind comes at me when I hear this liberal talking heads on, you know, the radio, the TV, you know. I scratch my head and I'm going, what are they talking about here? Right, right. We got a doubleheader today when it comes to this liberal logic.
Ah, today's liberal logic moment. This liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
All right, so liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com. We got two funny things to talk about. You just think about some of the things that come out at us. Have you saw the pantsuit deal that you can buy online now for Hillary?
Oh, who doesn't want to buy a Hillary Clinton pantsuit for $1,400?
What's the point of this? I just got to scratch. I get it. I'm saying to myself, does somebody really want to wear Hillary Clinton's pantsuits? I mean, that you're going to go spend $1,400?
Yeah, well, there's a way to raise money, you know, for your campaign, isn't it? $1,400 for a pantsuit from, of course, she is the fashionista, isn't she? Everybody wants to look like Hillary Clinton.
Now, the moral of the story is this, folks. Pastor, we were talking about this off air. This is kind of sneaking around the campaign laws, isn't it? I mean, that's what it, liberal logic here. Let's sell some pants and raise
else,
money.
Well, and of course the liberal logic is, and you talk to, you listen to Elizabeth Warren speak, or you listen to Hillary Clinton speak, and what do you hear? Always anti-capitalism, by people who, by the way, who have tons and tons and tons of money, tons of it, right? And they're like all anti-capitalism. And then what do? They put together something to make money in a capitalist way by selling a pantsuit for $1,400 so they can raise money in their campaign, sort of skirting the just giving money rules. You know, there's a certain limit you can give.
I'm sure pantsuits are going to be selling like crazy.
Oh, it's a hot item, I'll tell you.
And you mentioned Elizabeth Warren. I can only think, I was going to say Elizabeth Warning.
Well, there should be a warning sign on that progressive's head, for sure.
Elizabeth Warren, who I guess created her own capitalism, and this could be another logical topic, but when she
fibbed about being an Indian so that she can get money to teach a certain class at Harvard University.
Yeah, I'm not sure about what exactly happened, except I know she pretended to be American Indian.
No,
and she said it was because, well, I have, this is her answer. I remember her saying, well, I have high cheekbones. Can you imagine?
That's it. You got high cheekbones. You must be an Indian.
Oh, my gosh. So give me a break.
Can you even say Indian? It's Native American.
Of course.
That's
yes. You have to say it right or you're going to get in trouble.
The second topic that we were going to chit-chat about was a cut from our president talking about being a rugged individualism. Rugged individualism. Let's listen to the definition of our president when it comes to this.
The rugged individualism that defines America has always been bound by a shared set of values. An enduring sense that we're in this together. That America is not a place where we simply turn away from the sick or turn our backs on the tired, the poor, the huddled masses. It is a place sustained by the idea, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper. That we have an obligation to put ourselves in our neighbor's shoes and see each other's common humanity.
There it is. Your liberal logic on a definition on rugged individualism.
Yeah,
Doctor, tell us why he thinks that rugged individualism means that we're a shared. I should share my ruggedness with someone. I'm not sure I could even.
Well, what he's attempting to say is that rugged individualism, what he's trying to do is he's saying, listen, as Americans, he's mixing a truth with a lie. See, as Americans, we've always understood that we are Americans. We stand together as Americans. We fought wars together. We defended each other's rights, all this sort of thing. And then he somehow takes this bridge to nowhere, which is probably paid for by tax dollars. And he goes over to making it some sort of a collectivist mindset that says we've always been a country that believed in collectivism, socialist medicine. This is how he's applying this. We've always believed that we should have a Christian ethic that says we by a choice of our own to be benevolent to other people through charities and private things of that nature. We've never believed in the nation that the government has a right to confiscate your money by force, use it to support its bureaucracy, and then send some of it to a people to keep them under the thumb of government in slavery, economic slavery to the government, like the government is daddy. That's never been what this nation was founded on. He is full of nonsense with that nonsense stuff. He's not speaking the truth at all. He is twisting the idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic where we are looking out for one another as Christian people with that ethic and saying somehow the government, it has the right to confiscate and that they're going to be the keeper of morality and what is right and wrong and giving and not giving. Give me a break. They have been destructive to liberty and have placed an entire groups of people under the thumb of their economic tyranny.
Shouldn't it be rugged individualism, meaning that I can build my life? And then I can choose to give some of that away to people. And I should be my brother's keeper and help my neighbor at that point. But I shouldn't be told to. All this sounds like to me is socialized medicine and more taxes.
Well, it's not even a matter of him telling you to. It's a matter of him saying, I'm going to confiscate your money and force you to.
Oh, I don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, but the real scam is that I'm going to take your money under this idea of how much I love the poor, I'm going to support my bureaucracy and my buddies here in government, expand the size of government, and use that money to pay them, and I'll take a small portion of the money that I extort from you and give it to certain people, whoever they may be, and keep them as a voting block under my thumb because they're dependent upon me. That is not what this nation was founded on. It was founded on opportunity, hard work, economic freedom, these types of things. So the president, I think he knows better than this, but he unfortunately is not an honest man.
Yeah, he's using it for what he wants to use it for. And with that, that's your liberal logic moment.
Today's liberal logic moment. This liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
smellthetruth.com.
We are living in troubled times for young people. With a 35% out-of-wedlock birth rate for whites, 52% for Hispanics, and an even higher rate of 72% for African Americans, there is certainly a fatherless crisis in America. Statistics show incarceration rates for young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fatherless homes are 15 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. Girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers. Isn't it time to go back to the founding principles of this once great nation? Isn't it time to stop kicking against God's obvious wisdom found in the Bible and raise families as God intended? The evidence is overwhelming. Fatherlessness is destroying our nation. Come back to the Bible. Find a Bible-preaching, believing church. Come back to what works. It's time for men to be responsible and to lead their families to Jesus. This message is brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Engage the enemy of your mind.
All right, this is the Coach Bob with you. Our host, Dr. David Berman. Reach him at SmellTheTruth.com. Look him up there and see some of the fine articles that he's done over the last few years. And you can find his current article for June, Marginalizing Christians. That is up on the website right now. So, Doctor, talking about liberty endowed by our Creator is the subject topic that you're educating us on. Tell me about governments. What's the, I guess it's six different governments that you were talking to me about off air. Educate us a little bit. What's, you know, we have this unique government in America, but what? Why are we not afraid of communism no more? Why don't we talk about these governments that are out there? Are we being dumbed down? I mean, what are the governments, and are we being not taught what governments are anymore? Or any
yeah,
longer?
I mean, there's basically, you know, six basic types of governments, and of course, some of these things overlap, and there's some variations, but basically you have a dictatorship, of course, which is run by a dictator. Mm-hmm. You have a pure democracy, which would be where the people are mob rule. In other words, those who are the leader, or excuse me, the majority, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about racial, I mean the majority opinion just rules without any principle holding them back. Then you have what we call socialism, which is the idea of government controlling and being the one who provides all of the benefits. And you have communism, which government controls all property, benefits, and everything. You have fascism, when you have a marriage of government with big business doing the bidding of government and government doing the bidding of business. And then you have what we have, which is a constitutional representative republic. And that is liberty principle focused. So here's the difference. For instance, in a pure democracy, the majority rules and principle doesn't matter. It's whatever the majority wants. Our founders didn't want that. They wanted a representative constitutional republic because there are certain inalienable rights. So a majority does not have a right to take away, because the mob rule of the day decides that you shouldn't have free speech, then now your free speech rights should be taken away. That's why they've sworn to defend the Constitution from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, most of our government has become the very enemy they swore to defend the Constitution against. Like
that's
our president.
Crazy.
Our president is an enemy of the Constitution. Everything he does just about is unconstitutional. He doesn't care what the Constitution says. And listen, I am an equal opportunity critic. I don't care what your party is. I mean, the Republican Party leadership is a complete failure, a joke, and they are just as much anti-Constitution as the president is. They might speak a little different way, but when it comes down to the way they do things, they are unconstitutional. We have a two-party system, which is two heads of the same rotten, poisonous snake.
So when I hear you say we're not a democracy,
right,
which I hear constantly lately, and it seems to be the favorite word of our government lately,
right,
as well. Is that the dumbing down of us? Because I talk to people in the streets, and we do this all the time, Doctor, when we're out witnessing or whatever, or just sharing a cup of coffee.
Sure.
You'll strike up a conversation with someone. Why don't we, as people, never mind Christians, know what our country's even about?
when it comes to government.
Because there's been an intentional dumbing down of what we are because the progressives have taken over the major institutions of the country. Education has been taken over by the progressives.
What do you mean by progressives?
Give
me a little definition on that.
The word progressive sounds nice, but it's just a nice word to describe the ungodly, disgusting Marxists. It's just Karl Marx, you know, sort of put a pretty face on him and call it a progressive. Progressives say they want to progress, when the fact of the matter is they are regressive. They want to regress us into tyranny. It is conservative, and I say conservative, I mean constitutional principles, which I call myself a constitutionalist, that gives us freedom. A progressive is not progressive at all. It's just another fancy name for Marxist.
And when we see the dumbing down on these things, how do we get more educated to know that, you know, we are a constitutional republic? You know, how do we get this word out there to these people? Because I feel like the government sometimes this change so many words. We alluded to this earlier. I'm afraid to say certain words sometimes. Like I just think of the word gay and how it's been hijacked, or the rainbow for the symbol of what that agenda of people use. It's being hijacked. So how do we change this and get the word out there? I know this is part of Smell the Truth's goal. So what do we tell some people here? How do we get them educated and tell them that?
Well, I think the biggest problem is, and this will probably shock some people, you're going to think I say the biggest problem is the government, but really the biggest problem in my view has been the church. I think the church in America has been wimpy.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors have been afraid to speak the truth.
Right.
Political correctness has entered many churches. We recently had a very well-known evangelical named Tony Campolo come out in favor of gay marriage.
Tony Campolo. Come on, Pastor.
No.
This is like shocking news.
In fact, I emailed him about 2 days ago. He emailed me back. We had a conversation about this, and I'm trying to get him to see he must repent and change this. This is what has happened. So if you have the institution, the main institution of America, which really brought us the revolution, because it was the flames of freedom were fanned in the churches for about 50 years before the revolution happened, or what I would rather call the war for independence, or the war against tyranny. And now the churches in America have become very wimpy. You know, they're afraid to say anything. Many pastors won't speak out against abortion or same-sex marriage because they're afraid they're going to alienate whoever they want to be. They want to be liked. I don't know what their problem is, but we have a situation now where young people have no idea what I just told you. They don't understand anything about civics. Civics are not taught anymore the way that mm-hmm. they were about the founding of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a bunch of young people running around and college-age people running around who have no idea whatsoever about what founded this nation, these principles of liberty. In fact, they've been told that the nation is nothing but evil, and they believe it.
We're bad people, and we're a bad country. Do you believe that the churches are part of the plan to eliminate the Christian church as we see it today so that they can continue to change our country? I mean, is that what we're seeing?
You mean the infiltration?
The infiltration, yes, sir.
Oh, of course. They wanted to infiltrate every single institution in the country. They've got education. They've got the news media. They have entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They have now, after Obama, they've got a lot of the military now infiltrated.
Mm-hmm.
We have what's going on in the military right now is unbelievably horrible. The persecution of Christian chaplains. Christians saw a lady just got court-martialed for just having a scripture on her computer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So she had scripture on her computer
and
screen.
And they told her to take it down. She said, "Well, I want my scripture," and she wouldn't do it. So they court-martialed for having a scripture.
It was a screensaver.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
And they made her. Where's her right?
Well, we also have, for instance, I used to serve in the Air Force Auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
which is not the Air Force itself, but the auxiliary, also called Civil Air Patrol.
Yes, sir.
And I used to speak there, my main position was to teach on leadership and history of the Constitution, all the things that I'm an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use the scriptures, no problem. I told them when I signed up, I did for 4 years, that I would do that. They were fine with it. And then the reason that I resigned after 4 years and did not serve longer was because they told me, "We're not allowing you to use the Bible for anything anymore."
so the documents that help us learn certain things that our forefathers used as well, they don't want you to use.
You can't use the Bible anymore. We can't have you using the Bible anymore. And so then I resigned and said I'm not going to re-up. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that every institution is being infiltrated by this mindset. And I'll tell you one thing. I will give the progressives props for their tremendous organizational skills, and they are winning the war. And most of the Christians are asleep. This country would not be in the situation it is now if Christian people stood up, people who actually named that they are born again, that they know Jesus Christ. There's millions and millions and millions of Christians, so-called. But you know what? I don't think that they're all Christian.
Do you think there's kind of like this coasting going on that, hey, I got my car, my house, I got my material things.
Yep.
You know, if I vote for the president or not vote for the president, is it really going to change how I live my life? Just leave me alone.
Well, we had a lot of evangelicals who claim themselves to be evangelicals who voted for President Obama, knowing that he's pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 4 years, when he came out in favor of same-sex marriage, which he was opposed to, by the way. And by the way, as a side note, nobody called him a homophobe.
No.
When he was against gay marriage, or Hillary Clinton was, or the fact that her husband, Bill Clinton, is the one who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, which they're saying is homophobic. Now, of course, nobody ever said anything to them about that.
Of course not.
Because we know that the left is perfectly fine with their people lying about where they stand on things to get into power, so then they can go ahead and do what they do, which is to force their viewpoint on everybody. They're always telling us religious people, you know, you're trying to force your morality on me. What a joke. They are forcing their immorality on us.
Well, I always say they want to tell you their what they want, but you can't have what you want back.
Of course not.
You know?
Oh, no, you don't have a right to free speech. Only they do. As I said earlier, if you're a progressive, you do.
Well, yeah. And so now we understand what the word progressive means, and I'm thanking you for the education you're giving us on that. And I think we understand a little bit now more about our Constitution and about our Declaration of Independence when we look at this. You know, how do Christians walk with Jesus and take a stand against the enemy of our mind in today's world? How do we do this, Doctor? How do I do it? How do we all do it as believers? And we're talking to the Christian here.
Yeah, well, I think a Christian, oftentimes a Christian says, well, you know, that's not for me. I'm not, the kingdom of God is not of this world. And so, you know, we're just going to wait until Jesus comes. And certainly we are not trying to establish a state-run church or the church running a state. None of us are in favor of that, as I've said before.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that we're supposed to stand here as the salt and light and do nothing and say nothing about 56 million babies murdered.
Yeah,
about the imposition of same-sex marriage, and of course, as I said, I remember being on radio. Literally, let me think of when this was. I'm going to say early '90s.
Okay,
early 90s, on a radio show in Connecticut. I'll never forget it. And I was talking to the host, and we were talking about the homosexual issue because I was involved with a controversy. Shockingly enough,
you Dr. David Berman,
yes,
involved with controversy.
Yeah.
Okay, doctor, go ahead. Finish your story.
There was a controversy in Windsor, Connecticut at the time, and I don't remember the exact, I think it was early 90s, in which a liberal church came out with what they called opening and affirming homosexual relationships. And I was interviewed in the local paper, and I was against that, and so it got on the radio. And so I did a radio show, and the host said to me, he said, Pastor, why are you so, what's the problem with this? The people just want – homosexuals just want to be left alone. And I said to him, no, homosexuals do not want to just be left alone. There may be some that do, but the agenda is to force this on you. And he started laughing at me. I said, you don't understand. They want to force you to accept it. And fast forward, what do we have? We have now they're telling you have to do this. A bakery has to do a cake for a gay wedding, has to cater a gay wedding. Against their moral values, has to go and participate. It's not good enough to just say you want to have a gay wedding, you can do that if you want to. We're going to force you to be involved with the promotion of that or the service in that. And it's like saying, would you ask a person, like I'm Jewish, I'm a Jewish Christian.
Okay.
Would you expect me, if I owned a bakery, would you expect me to have to do a cake for somebody who believes in Nazism? Should I do that?
Yeah. Didn't someone have a kid that had a name Adolf Hitler or something? And
they want me to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Now, someone listens will say, are you equating Nazism to homosexuality?
Yeah.
I am not. What I'm saying is that whatever we don't expect people – you wouldn't expect a black person to make a cake for a KKK rally.
Of course not.
I mean, this is just common sense. If a person's conscience mm-hmm. says they don't want to be involved in it – and let me go a step further. If a person who says they're homosexual
mm-hmm.
owns a bakery and says to me, Pastor Berman, I don't want to make a cake for your organization's rally in favor of traditional marriage, you know what I would say to him? It's your right not to.
Right. And I wouldn't want him to at that point in time either. I wouldn't want to fight that issue.
Well, why would I?
What would he do to my cake maybe? I don't know. What's he going to put in there?
Right.
We got to think about that stuff sometimes.
That's another issue. The central point is that, look, at here we have your individual human rights
yep.
and your right to free speech
mm-hmm.
and association, it affects mine. So I have to defend yours whether I agree with you or not.
So this back together, and we're saying, okay, there's a movement in our nation to change our government, to make us ungodly, and to rid us of our liberties. We're talking to Dr. David Berman about this. Doctor, before we go away from break here, if I said that people were going to be put in jail for these types of things 5, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would you have believed it?
Yes, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about this since, let me see, I was ordained in 1991. I was 27 years old. I think that was the date. Yeah, 1991.
Okay.
And I remember preaching at the church that I was serving in, saying persecution is coming. And they're going to do this and this and this. And I remember people looking at me like I was crazy. Well, guess what? I wasn't crazy. And let me tell you what else. I wish I was. I wish I was wrong.
Well, Dr. David Berman is our host. This is Smell the Truth Radio. And the enemy of our mind is kind of what we're really trying to fight against here, is that we need to follow Christ and not our government and not our country. Coach with you, Rob Lotito. Smell the Truth. .com is our sponsor, and we'll be back right after this. SmellTheTruth.com is the official site for Smell the Truth Radio. You will find information as well as articles from Dr. David Berman. SmellTheTruth.com is all about truth. Dr. Berman engages the enemy of your mind with the truth of God's Word, explaining not only biblical principles for our lives of faith, but also how the Judeo-Christian principles apply to the principles of liberty as seen in the founding philosophy of America. At smellthetruth.com, you can sign up for Dr. Berman's monthly email articles, as well as listen to archive radio shows. If you're interested in booking Dr. Berman for a speaking event, you may also contact him through smellthetruth.com. Smellthetruth.com, disseminating the truth throughout the world.
Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision declaring abortion a so-called right, there have been over 50 million unborn children slaughtered in their mother's womb. This national tragedy is a sin that stains our nation as a whole. If our nation is unwilling to protect the most vulnerable among us, is it any wonder that all of our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are in jeopardy? Do you realize that 50 million abortions is equivalent to twice the population of Texas? An unalienable constitutional right, which means the rights that are given to us by our Creator, is the bedrock of our American freedom. Ask yourself this question. Is it really an unalienable right given from God for us to murder our unborn children? How can we take away the child's basic right to life? Unless your conscience is seared, you must conclude that God is against all murder, and particularly the egregious sin of the murder of babies. Please consider voting pro-life and speaking out on this national tragedy. Only you can make a difference in ending this horrific practice.
SmellTheTruth.com.
Dr. David Berman is our host. This is Rob, the coach, Lotito. People say sometimes, I'm not as smart as you. You got the doctorate. You got the Reverend thing going on. I'm just a coach.
Well,
I'm just out there trying to coach people.
You're not as good looking as me either.
No, I'm not. I am not. I got the same type of beard, but you got the full head of hair. And you know, people saw me off radio. And I don't have hair, right? I'm going to give you that much.
Let's
folks,
just say
you know.
That we're glad this is not a television
That's
show.
What you want. That's it right there. That's what you want. But we will go to webcam pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
So that's going to be fun.
Our topic today has been liberty endowed by our Creator. I think the doctor has walked us through a great program. If you're just joining us now, go back and listen to the beginning, because I was really educated today. Doctor, just to wrap us up here, again, the last thing, what could a Christian really do today to educate themselves, besides maybe, you know, going on reading your articles and things of that nature?
Well, actually, one of the things they should do is go to my website, smellthetruth.com. All of my articles are on there. You can get my book. I have a new book out called Essays in Liberty.
Okay.
Essays in Liberty. You can go on Amazon or just look up Essays in Liberty, Dr. David Berman. That has all kinds of explanations about hot-button topics and really explains the viewpoint, the conservative, the constitutional viewpoint, and Judeo-Christian viewpoint of things from economic issues to race and all kinds of stuff like that. And I've done it in such a way that it's not hard to read. It's not something that's going to bog you down with all kinds of academic, technical things. It would be very helpful. Read the articles on smellthetruth.com. Listen to the Smell the Truth radio broadcast and start talking to your friends who are liberty-minded but may not understand the principles. Start educating each other, because if we don't do that, we're going to completely lose our nation. We need really a grassroots movement. It's not going to come through political parties, certainly not through the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and definitely not through the Democrats. It's only
right.
going to come through a grassroots movement of people that are not going to relent on the idea of liberty and endowed by our Creator.
Now, you're going to go back outside and ride that Harley Davidson today?
I'm going to fire that baby up right away, but I better be careful. I get all fired up after I talk about this stuff, and I don't want to get a ticket.
I know, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want you speeding down on the highway here.
Right.
You know, and Pastor, some great outreach stuff you got there. If those are interested in contacting you, they can do it right through smellthetruth.com. You're also available for speaking engagements of some type if people are interested
in that. Yes,
indeed. And now, they can sign up also for your newsletter and get it automatically.
Yeah, they can sign up. It's a monthly article that I send out.
Mm-hmm.
Every month you get an article that comes out on a topic that I feel is important for that month.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a current event, or it may just be something that I feel that I need to share with you. Sometimes you'll get a teaching on the scripture rather than just an article about an event. Also, you can contact me there. If you want to email me, you can do that there on smellthetruth.com. And also, as the coach said, if you would like to have me for a speaking engagement, I'm certainly open to that. Also, other media interviews have been doing that for years and years and years, so I'm available for that too. Bottom line, the reason why we do this, the reason why the coach and me do this, is because we are not going to stand by and allow our nation to fall into the hands of these progressives, these Marxists, these tyrants, without at least doing the best we can to fight, because we know that blood has been shed for the history of this nation, for our freedom. Men and women have given their lives for this nation, and it's the least that we could do is to stand up against tyranny, the tyranny of a federal government that's out of control, the tyranny of many state and local governments that are out of control, and the tyranny of this political correctness, which is absolutely destroying the foundational principles of this nation, of freedom, of free exercise of religion and political speech. So we're just going to stand. And we know we'll be persecuted, lied about, false accusations, everything's going to happen. It's been happening to me for years, but I am relentless. I'm fearless about this. I will not relent. We have to speak up for Jesus Christ, and we have to speak up for the freedom of the American citizen in rugged individualism, not collectivism.
Amen to that. You're listening to Dr. David Berman on Smell the Truth Radio. I am the coach with you today, just thanking Dr. David for this great educational program that he is producing. We are Smell the Truth Radio. Go to smellthetruth.com right now. I'm the coach saying goodbye.
Wake up. Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
smellthetruth.com.